This is Brian. Call me the noise that will drive you insane, Gardner. Coming to you from Ice Station Zeppelin, a.k.a. the Ramblin' Towers Tower Studio in scenic Hespeler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 115 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramblin' Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast in this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblinradio.com for all your news, reviews, any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. If you do that, there's John Paul Jones is on a new album. A foreign female. If you're picking that up on iTunes, pop over to Ramblin' Radio. Do a quick search. Leave a review. We're on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. Listen on Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramblin' Radio on Spreaker. And also check it out at Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. I think I did the Christmas episode, I think has been posted to YouTube. Took me a little while to get that, but I believe I've got it up there now. I'm on a glass desk and everything I put down is noisy as heck. So I want to try and soften the blow here. You can follow Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. So the intro was, a little story to tell you here. Intro was The Firm, from a bootleg called Jimmy Page's Firm Live. And that was City Sirens. City Sirens was on, was on the soundtrack, the Death Wish 2 soundtrack. City Sirens was on that. And it's a 2-minute piece on the soundtrack. And then it showed up on the Firm's second album. Their second album, Mean Business, which was released February 3rd, 1986. So 30 years ago this very month. And that means I sent off some interview requests. And the story goes, probably a good month or so ago, I sent one to Tony Franklin. Chris Slade is currently on tour with AC/DC. So I figured, and if you go to his webpage, there's not actually a contact link, which may be because he's on tour with AC/DC. It may be something they took down, and I'll get to that in a second. So I contacted Tony Franklin, or his people, and as happens, as you know, I complain a bit about this, quite a bit about this, they promptly ignored my request. Not said no. No, that would be polite. That would be courteous. They put a contact information on the website and then do not respond to contact. So that's Tony Franklin. I'm thinking of putting together a black book for this program. Just so people, no, you're not on. Or you have to grovel. And Tony Franklin would be on it. So I contacted Chris Slade this morning. Now, Chris Slade doesn't have contact info on the website, but a little bit of digging around, and I found the Facebook page is kind of the way to contact him. So I messaged, private message on his Facebook page and got a response in 10 or 12 minutes. And the response was not surprising. No, can't do it right now. Because he's on tour with AC/DC, unavailable for interview requests. And it may be part of his contract with AC/DC is you only do interviews approved by us. You know what I mean? It may be a very much a contractual obligation he has at this stage. But the second part of the request the message was, feel free to contact us a later time. He'd love to come on. So hopefully we'll get Chris Slade on someday, which is way cool. I mean, Chris Slade's not just the Firm, right? He's a guy who, wow, it goes back a long way, and he's toured with AC/DC a couple of times, and he's been in so many big bands, and he's drummed for so many guys. Anyway, so I fired off a message to, I dug around, and I didn't bother. Damn, I hate when my memory gets old like this. Paul Rogers, I didn't bother Paul Rogers because, not because he's Paul Rogers, right? He's, you know, Chris Slade and Tony Franklin are stars. They're big, big names. But Paul Rogers is in a whole other pantheon, right? He's, what is he, like an A-minus star? he's an A-level guy. Let's call it that. He's not Paul McCartney or Jimmy Page, but he's the next level, next rung down that ladder. So I figured no point. But anyway, I sent him one with the other two negatives. I sent him one. So hopefully we'll get somebody to come on and talk about the Firm. That's the bottom line. If Paul Rogers doesn't go through, I'll contact Jimmy Page, but we know how that will go. And no, he won't wind up in the Black Book. So anyway, that's apologies, it's been a while. I tell myself I am adjusting somewhat to new family. The family's time clocks have changed around here, and I don't like doing this with people in the house for whatever reason, and there's, you know, I'm doing it now with two people in the house. It's just what I have to do, I guess, and I keep telling, but I actually think maybe I needed a little holiday from doing this, and it's not doing this. This is not the hard part. The hard part is keeping constant track on all the Led Zeppelin news. There's so much of it sometimes, and it's minutia, right? It's small stuff, and for instance, and I think this may be the day I put everything down and said I'm walking away from this for. Although I didn't intentionally do that, it's kind of what happened. And Jimmy Page's old house in Scotland burned down, Bullskin. It's the one that was owned by Aleister Crowley. It's the one you see in the song Remains the Same. And he hasn't lived there in 35 years. And I was getting inundated with updates on my phone. And it was all sorts of stuff. And it was just, I just kept thinking, it's such a minor story. It's not the house Jimmy Page currently lives. It's not the house he lived in 2 years ago even, right? It's 35 years ago. We have no idea who lives in that house now. And it's a story. Jimmy Page's old house burned down. Okay, and that's part why I'm talking about it here. But that's it. It's just a small story. And it was 2 days of my phone going off constantly with pictures and updates. And fire crew says this, and this is the cause. And it was just, holy Jesus. It's too much sometimes. So yeah, I think I must have needed a little rest. Is the approach I'm going to take here mentally. Which is to say, by the way, that if you hear me say it's the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network in the intro, that's a hint that I'm really going off the cuff here. I'm not. I have very little written down. Like sometimes I have a very, very well laid out. And it's, and other times it's, I'm trying to remember the stories as they go, or I have a very, very point form list, and that's where we're at today. So if you hear me say it's on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network, that's my hint that I'm really off the cuff. So anyway, it's been a while. So in history, I'm going to skim over some stuff. The 3rd of February, 1986, the Firm Mean Business released. February 7, 1962, Deborah Bonham was born, which makes her more or less my age, by the way. February 7, 1970, Led Zeppelin 2 reaches number 1 in the UK, Led Zeppelin's first number 1 charting. Is the 8th, 1968, Band of Joy featuring Robert Plant and John Bonham make their final, first London appearance, supporting Edwin Starr at the Marquee Club. February 8, 2009, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss win 5 Grammys for Raising Sand, including Album of the Year. February 10, 2002, both Page and Plant appear at the Teenage Cancer Trust benefit, but not together. Plant with Strange Sensation, Page with Paul Weller's backup band. February 10, 2009, It Might Get Loud's European premiere at the Berlin International Film Festival. February 11, 1985, so we're getting into closer time, but it's 31 years, The Firm's first album was released, which is, I've been listening to a lot of Firm because I'd known this was coming up, and I think it's better than I ever gave it credit for, but we'll get there. I'll get there by the end of today. And sometime, probably the next couple of podcasts, I was kind of hoping somebody would come on and I would do a Firm podcast. So we'll see if Paul Rogers, I've heard that Paul Rogers can be a very nice guy these days. So who knows if he'll, I don't rule out the possibility that he could come on, although I do think it's unlikely, and I understand that. But anyway, so yeah, I'd like to do a Firm episode at some point, is I guess what I'm saying. But I'll talk a little bit about those two albums. February 13th, 2005, Led Zeppelin received Lifetime Achievement Grammy. February 14, 1974, Page and Plant joined Roy Harper on stage at London's Rainbow Theatre. Ronnie Lane and Keith Moon also join in. Two guys who have since passed. And I mean, it's been 40 years. People die. But both of them died fairly young, obviously. February 15, 1982, Death Wish 2 soundtrack. Got the soundtracks CD. I'm not even sure what I said last time I was on. I think it was the... I'm not even sure. I think the last one was Steve, wasn't it? I gotta check. I gotta look it up. I got the soundtracks CD over Christmas. In December. It was on sale for like... off the website. I got it for $40 anyway, I think, is what I paid. And that's with the terrible exchange rate we get in Canada right now and all that sort of stuff. See what the feed says. I've been calling this episode 115, and it's actually 114. How do you like that? How do you like that? And the reason I did that is because it's that's why I stopped here, because I just realized that 114 was, I had started the started doing 114 and then didn't finish. And I don't even think I did much. I think I just got the file started. So I worked off that to create 115. No, it's not 115, it's 114. There you go. So we'll have to fix that. Anyway, Page and Plant, Death Wish 2 soundtrack. So yes, I got the soundtrack CD. We'll talk about that in a bit. 24th February. So that's 15th. So now we're on to the 24th. John Bonham throws 21st birthday party for his wife, Pat, at Club Lafayette. The band performs. 1969, that was. February 1975, Physical Graffiti was released. February 25th, 1971, a show from the Paris Theater was broadcast in Paris. And so on. The next episode, we'll finish that up. How's that? Okay, so there's much has happened. Much has happened. I'm going to have a hard time keeping up with it all. And I'm going to be pausing because I'm going to be thinking of stuff and I'm going to run into Twitter to try and find the answer and stuff. Let's start with Robert Plant is doing a tour. Southern States. He played at the Burt Jansk. Never sure how that's actually pronounced. Tribute concert in, I think it was in London, at the Roundhouse in London, I believe, and went over well. Again, this goes with my having to tune it out for a while. I didn't listen to any of that. I seen the videos of the whole show come in. I seen the set list come in. But I have none of that stuff at hand. How's that? So, but he went over well, and he's touring the southern states this spring with Sensational Space Shifters. I wish he'd change the name of the band to, I don't know. Whatever. Just, that's it. I get so tossed between Strange Sensation and Sensational Space Shifters, and I have to say this all the time, and it's not working for me. So, Robert, change the name of the band. Something else. Something less tongue-tie-y. Please, I beg. In their that's the tour starts. I don't know when the tour starts. I'm sorry, did I tell you that I was off the cuffing end? I just it's worth asking, I suppose. Let me quickly look it up on the road. Okay, so it starts March 4 in about 2 weeks at the Okeechobee Musical and Arts Festival. And I'm pretty sure I've said this out loud. So, a bunch of dates through March 6th in Florida. So through the South, San Antonio, Texas, and Florida and whatnot. Because you wouldn't want to be doing outdoor concerts in Ontario in March. The whole Ice Station Zeppelin thing would kick in. July, he's in Belgium, France, Portugal, Czech Republic, Austria. August, Germany. He's in Germany. So that's... So he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 dates so far booked for 2016. I'm going to guess there's more dates somewhere in there. But you'd think if he was going to add on to the Southern U.S. tour, you would think that would be done by now. Well, that's March. Maybe something May, June could happen. But, and like I say, yeah, he played the Burjansk concert, and I'm going to quickly look it up. I hate doing this because I know the microphone picks up my typing. Clickety, clickety, clickety. There we go. Let's see if we found something. At LedZeppelin.org. At MPG Awards. So, yeah, there's... See? Oh, I just come here. Here's the set list. Go Your Way, My Love. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down. In My Time of Dying. Set 2. When My Train Fare Home. The Cuckoo. Poison. And the finale is Strolling Down the Highway Ahead of Everybody on It. So that's, and speaking of tours, Jason Bonham is also out on the road. Not many dates, but 6 or 8 dates. Did you get the feeling this is winding down? Didn't do many shows last year. He did last spring. It would have been last May, I think. He did a tour, and that was kind of it. And then there's some shows here, but it's not... They're not piling up. Let's put it that way. I was expecting once 1 or 2 dates. What normally happens is 1 or 2 dates leak out, come out. You say, okay, he's playing this casino and that ballroom or whatever. And then they start filling in around those dates. And that's been the standard for the last couple of years. They have filled in around the dates that they put out. The first there was 2 or 3, and then... But now it's up to 6 or something, and it's been a number of weeks. So I just get the feeling Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin experience is winding up. That it's, which is maybe a good thing. Maybe stuff like that has its timeline. And I think people are still going. Hopefully he's still profitable, but, a guy wants to move on too, right? And the circle, he's playing a lot with the circle. Sammy Hagar's band with Michael Anthony. and who's on guitar? I'm not sure who's on guitar with that band. And we talked about them before. They had a really good live album out, if you know. So Jason, yeah, I think this is winding up. The circle's coming around. But of course, with the circle, there's a lot of rumors that Sammy Hagar's going back to Van Halen, which I would assume means Michael Anthony's going back to Van Halen. I would think Sammy and Michael Anthony go together. And as Wolfgang Van Halen apparently is doing some other work himself, that might make some sense unto itself. But who knows? Those are rumors, and they're denied on one hand, and then hints come around suggesting maybe they're not to be denied. I just think the Led Zeppelin experience is winding itself up. But we'll keep an eye on it. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned this, Robert Plant's picture by James Dillon. James Dillon does the pencil drawings. I've talked about him a ton over the years. Before Christmas, he got done on the Robert Plant one. So, and he's sworn up and down. He's going to do all four guys plus a fifth, which he has in mind. We'll incorporate Jason in it. I'm guessing it's something from the O2, like a band picture from the O2. But we'll have to see. But yeah, I'm going to guess Jimmy is next. So yeah, head on over to James Dillon. Look up James Dillon. It's jamesdillon.com, I think, or look him up. And you can buy those pictures. And they're pencil drawings, but they're sensational. Sensational. There's a lot of talk over New Year's, right at the beginning of the year, about a Jimmy Page interview on BBC. It was a long interview. It was very comprehensive about his career. And a good half hour was spent on his pre-Led Zeppelin days. And they talked a lot. There was some and it was up on BBC for a while. It's probably gone now, but I'm sure it's floating around the internet somewhere. It was quite a good interview. It was a really quite a long, complex interview with Jimmy Page. And it, it's been so long, I forget most of it. How does that grab you? So it's out there, and it's a decent interview. And it's Jimmy is, in a talkative mode. How's that? And that brings us to, I'm going to go through with this. I mean, I'm really looking, Jimmy, I laughed at this one. Jimmy made a surprise appearance at the MPG Awards, gave John Davis an award for Mastering Engineer of the Year. Davis and Page have worked together several times. Davis was involved in the remasters. So I'm guessing it wasn't an envelope pleasing. I'm guessing he wasn't going out going, it could be one of these five guys, but yes, it's my pal who does work for me. Happened to win magically. I'm guessing they knew in advance that it was John Davis. Just a guess. Otherwise, maybe the envelope thing was rigged. But let's call that February 6th, that was. So that's a public appearance by Jimmy. There's been lots of news lately about and I'm looking for the John Paul Jones. There was an album released just last week. John Paul Jones was on it, and I will dig that up. I'll tell you what, next time I will talk about it. I will dig it up as punishment for myself. I will listen to it. Not necessarily punishment, but you know what I mean. I'll find the album. I'll have a listen. I'll give you, instead of just telling you that it's out there, I will give you something of a review. And we'll make that right. But a lot of talk lately about the Stairway to Heaven lawsuit by the estate of guitarist Randy California. And there's been a lot of people A lot of what happens is, so Zeppelin's lawyers go in and they start banging off claims, right? They lay down paperwork. And part of the process is, and it's not a fair part of the process, by the way, by any stretch, but part of the process is that they try to drown you. So you're the estate of Randy California. You don't have a lot of cash. Well, guess what? We're throwing billable hours at you. We're throwing so much work for your lawyers at you that it's gonna drown you. That's one of the things they do. The other thing is they shoot in the dark. They go, we think this lawsuit should be thrown out because of X, Y, Z. And they do that because, A, who knows what the judge will find credible. B, maybe something turns up. You know, you kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks in between here and the motions and whatnot. Maybe something turns up. Maybe somebody says something that makes what you just wrote on the paper true. So they throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. And usually nothing sticks. That's what happened recently with like all the kind of claims to throw it out and whatnot. You know, questioning the legitimacy of the legal team, et cetera, stuff like that. None of those passed muster. And so people say, oh, now Led Zeppelin's in trouble. Now Led Zeppelin's in trouble. And it doesn't mean anything. It just means that preliminary efforts to get this thing, make this thing go away, failed. What it means for the lawsuit overall is zero. Zero. You still have to prove in court that they stole the song. I think it's going to be hard proof. I think when you get some guitar players up on the stand to say, look, there really are very different songs. And when you pull out evidence of stuff from 300 years ago and stuff from the 50s, and Davy Johnson has a piece that's much closer to Stairway to Heaven from the very early 60s, and credible case can be made that, I mean, Jimmy Page was a fan of Davy Johnson, so a very credible case could be made that Jimmy Page had heard that. But, you know, so there's a long way to go before this is a lawsuit in which Stairway to Heaven's considered ripped off. And by the way, by ripped off, we're talking about the first 7 bars of the song. That's all. I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and maybe 8 bars. But I think even the 8th bar is completely different. So you'd almost really be talking about the first 3 bars. Because the change is significant enough that after 3 bars it becomes obvious. But the first 4 notes sounds, oh. And that's where this is deadly. If you get some moron who hears that, oh, those first 4 notes. But it's 4 notes in a chord. It's a common chord. So I think this lawsuit is a long way to go. But I don't think it's dead. By any stretch. There's a lot of information floating around about it, and it looks like it's going to make it to court. That's kind of the big deal. All right, so I mentioned the soundtrack CD. And for those who don't remember, Soundtracks was Jimmy Page released it last year. And it was a big box set at LP. And it's a beautiful package, by the way. I got the CDs because they went on sale off his website in early December. And it became, let's call it a reasonable price. And one of my problems right now is I'm in Canada and the dollar is just tanking. It's worth about 65 cents versus the US dollar. But even against the pound, it's up over $2 per pound to dollar. So if something costs 20 pounds, it costs me $40. Whereas 3 years ago, that would have been $25. It was the opposite. The pound was down, the dollar was up. So when this came out, I looked at it and it was going to be with shipping and exchange, it was going to be, I think it was $80 to $100 for the CD. It was going to be $140 or something for the albums, which I really would have liked to get. The albums are not going to happen. It doesn't look like in the near future. But I loved. But the CD came through. Beautifully packaged, really nicely done on the packaging, which is not why I bought it, by the way, but really, really nicely done on the packaging. It's a beautiful thing, and like I say, the box set of albums would be really nice, would really look good there. So what it is it's Death Wish 2 soundtrack, and then some outtakes from the Death Wish 2 soundtrack, and the Lucifer's Rising soundtrack, which he released about 5 years ago on LP. And if you remember, is Creative Noise. I'll stand with that and explain myself later. And so there's some stuff that pops up, and then there's outtracks from that. But the outtakes are more... There's more... what would you say? They're not... look at me, I'm looking it up on my computer. There's just some stuff that's a little different. Let's put it that way. It's not all from those soundtracks. There are a few other soundtracks that come up, I think. But anyway, so... And including, by the way, there's an early mix of that. So it's 20 minutes. The first side of the LP is 20 minutes for Lucifer Rising. And then, so the second disc, it's a 19-minute version of the same thing with a different mix. So deal with that. And then Sonic Textures is what he calls them all. And they're all different kind of... Yeah, it's oddball. But here's the thing about the Lucifer Rising. Do you know, in the last 5 years, I've listened to it more often than I've listened to Death Wish 2 over the course of the last 30 years? And 35 years, I guess, Death Wish 2. I've said this before, but I mean, I bought Death Wish 2 the day it came out, the album. I've maybe listened to it half a dozen times in those years. I throw Lucifer's Rising on. Lucifer Rising, not Lucifer's Rising, by the way. Lucifer Rising. I throw it on once a month, and I do it when I'm working on something, and I'm focused in on the work, and it's a physical work. I can explain it. You know, sometimes you're doing a job that's physical, that's mentally mundane, but still requires your concentration. You can't be falling asleep while you do it, right? So it's a routine kind of task, but if you fade away mentally completely, then you're going to screw it up. I repair guitars. So if I'm doing a fret job, for instance, taking the frets out is just a mundane task. If I was taking all your frets out of your guitar, it's about a 45-minute job just to take them out. And it's a very gentle, you have to very inch your way along the fret with your pliers. You want it to pop out instead of pulling it out, you know, and for lack of a better way of explaining it. It's a mundane task, but you better be paying attention to what you're doing, otherwise you start making stupid mistakes that really screw things up. So I doing something like that, I will throw this on, and it really helps you to focus in on what's in front. It's weird. It gets into your brain that way. And I've thrown on Lucifer Rising probably once a month. It just goes, you know what would be perfect right now? And it is, every time. And next thing you know, the 20 minutes is gone. The first sight, it's done. It's gone. And he calls it trance-like music, and it is very trance-like. And so it's not, I'm not pulling it out at a party, or I'm not, it's not on my running list. But it gets played, and there's something about it I quite enjoy. So Lucifer Rising, I enjoyed the disc too as well. It had some neat stuff in there. And I should say, really, it's the side one, the Lucifer Rising main track. The unharmonics and percussive return stuff, I'm less keen on. With the Death Wish 2... The alternate takes disc may be a little better than and it's just, there's a couple of songs in there. A song called Country Sandwich, which doesn't make it into the original. And you got to remember that there's another called, there's a few anyway. There's two or three actual songs. And what they are is, look, he wrote the music for the movie, and then the album was the music that got used in the movie. Anything that wound up in the cutting room floor didn't wind up in the album. So we're hearing some of that stuff now, and some of that is the better stuff as a music. It may not fit with the movie, but as pure listening music, some of that's better. And it's been a little while since I listened. See, this is why I need to do the show every week, or every other week at the most, because I can't remember which ones are which. But there is some quite good stuff on that side of this. So anyway, I guess the point is, if you're looking to get some of this stuff, if you're wondering, oh, is it worth getting, I'm actually quite pleased with the product at the price I paid. Had I paid $80 for it, I'd be going, oh, what was I thinking? But, you know, I wound up getting it for a really rational price. I think shipping included. And I was happy with it. It's quite a nice... It's funny. I looked up Jimmy Page on my iTunes here, and up came The Firm, unofficial, but not The Firm. And that's because the album's called Jimmy Page Firm Live. Which is from 1985, by the way. So let's go. Let's just go Firm. All right, so The Firm. We got, they released two albums, one in February 1985, one in February 1986. The interesting thing, you know, the second album, they must have been scratching for songs or something. So they used City Sirens, which is from the Death Wish 2 soundtrack. It's a 2-minute song, and you heard the live version of it at the intro. It's a 2-minute song. It turns into a 4-minute song under The Firm. And it works really well. And both of these albums are good in retrospect, but they sound very dated, 80-ish, dated, 80s, dated 80-ish. How's that? But the song, if you put away how it sounds in the Tony Frankel's wah, wah, wah bass, which there are times I find distracting. There are times I like it. Times I find distracting. Put away that they did You Lost That Loving Feeling, which I think turned me off The Firm completely. I think I put that album on and went, oh, you know, like, Radioactive is good, and Satisfaction Guaranteed, and Closer is good. There's a few good songs. And then You Lost That Loving Feeling comes on, and I go, are you kidding me? And this was right around the time of Top Gun 2, right? So you'd be going, what are you... what? And I've never liked it. I've never liked the way they did that song. I've never liked... and I think it turned me off The Firm completely. So it's taken a while to get me back. Let's do it. But yeah, and interestingly, but like I say, in Mean Business, the, you know, 35 years ago now, they do another version of Radioactive, a different version. That's kind of weirded out. And they do City Sirens from, you know. So you wonder if they're running out of songs by this point. Although Fortune Hunter and All the King's Horses are really good songs. And there's a few others in there that I quite like. They're both really good albums. Now, The Firm was set to be a 2-album band. They both, Paul Rodgers and Jimmy Page have talked about this the best. It was designed as a 2-album band with some tours. And it was, Jimmy wanted to get back to work, and Paul quite frankly states in one interview that, and if he deigns to come on the show, I will ask him about this. But he quite frankly has stated that he watched Paul Kossuth die. And he felt like he was watching Jimmy Page die, and he was going to do what he could to stop that. So when Page came to him with the idea of a band, he needed to get out on the road and get working. Paul was Ollie. And it was, the idea was a 2-album band. And they did 2 albums. And like I say, it almost feels like they ran out of songs. Maybe because they knew it was coming to an end. They just, throw this and this on. No big deal. But there's some really good stuff on these albums. And there's some throwaways. And I think the throwaways can be distracting. You've lost that loving feeling as a throwaway, you know. The second Radioactive is a bit of a throwaway. But overall, this was a good band. This was a good band. And obviously, Chris Slade is a top-notch drummer who's got an... just look him up. Just got such an impeccable resume. And Paul Rodgers from Free and Bad Company, Jimmy Page from some band called Led Zeppelin, yeah. You know, and Tony Franklin himself wasn't a slouch. He was with Chic, I believe it was, before, in the 70s. And he's done a lot of work since. So all of them have impeccable resumes. Not a shabby band at all. And I will, like I said, I'm going to talk about the Firm more later on. I'm going to try and do a Firm episode. I'm going to try and get somebody on. We'll see how that all goes. But the next couple of weeks, kind of, because I don't want to get too far away from that 15-year date, or 35 years since being business. So that'll come up in the next couple of episodes, I think. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up there. That's it for Ramblin' Radio episode 114. Not 115, as I said at the beginning, 114. Check ramblinradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramblin' Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramblin' Blog on Twitter. You could subscribe to Ramblin' Radio through iTunes. Leave a review. If you're in iTunes, leave a review. Listen on Spreaker, and check it out at Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramblin' Radio episode 114. And here's the Firm from Jimmy Page's Firm Live, Radioactive. Turn me on tonight.